Amen. Verse 3 said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And like you may be seated, so I was telling you earlier, I just want to encourage this pastor, this church tonight. Amen. I'll holler at you tomorrow night and I'll get my hat and get out of here. Amen, somebody. When life is troubling, when you are struggling with your sin, when family members aren't saved and bills aren't paid, when school is difficult, when work is exhausting, when your health is failing, when your loved ones are hurt, when the future is unsure, and when a good friend leaves, it's easy to be discouraged. I'm going somewhere if y'all wait on me. Discouragement is a thief. I'm going to say that again. I'm a tape rewinder. I said discouragement is a thief. It steals your vitality, your zeal, your joy, your peace, and your contentment. If discouragement dwells along with you, you need to hear this tonight. I said, if discouragement dwell longer with you, are you still here tonight? Its friend will soon join you. I said, if discouragement long dwell with you, its friends will soon join you. Their names are fatigue, hopelessness, despair, self-pity, depression, doubt, and bitterness. Sometimes discouragement can be so strong that you even don't want to go on living. And that's why, amen, we don't have a right to discourage nobody. We have a right to encourage. And if we ever need to be encouraged, it's right now is the time. But I do want you to know tonight that Jesus still lives. And whatever you are going through, I know a God is able to do exactly what you ask him to do. But tap a neighbor said, now it's take a little faith too. It's take some faith. It's take some faith. Discouragement is dissatisfaction with the past. Oh boy, it's good to me already. Distaste for the future. And distrust of the future, or further. It is a result of the present and distrust of the future. It is results of blindness. It is ingratitude for the blessing of yesterday. Indifference to the opportunity of today. And insecure regarding strength for tomorrow. It is unawareness of the presence of God. It's unconcern for the need of our fellow man and unbelief in the promise of his word. If we have nothing to rely on, or if we forget our blessing and begin to take hold instead, what we need is encouragement. We need hope and peace and knowledge that the Lord knows our trouble. Amen. And he has great concern and compassion for all of us. And that's why you and I need compassion for one another. And I was just telling the church on last night that we don't have no business, amen, of keeping folks and put our foot on their head and keep them down when Jesus Christ didn't do us that way. Now, I don't know about you, but he looked beyond my low-down ways, amen, and he reached way down and got me out of the gutter. That's why I don't mind lifting my hand tonight and tell you, Lord, thank you for being so good to me. Because you know it's God because you're here tonight. Oh, I need a talking church here tonight. I need a talking church. Amen. So discouragement will cause you to lose out with God. So you need to be encouraged. Are you still here tonight? Keeping your eyes on Jesus is the best thing to be encouraged. Now, sometimes we rely on one another too much and don't rely on Jesus enough, because your friends will let you down. And oh, I just come on in your house. Sometimes your own relative will let you down. But I know a Savior called Jesus. If you call on him, he will come to your rescue tonight. Hallelujah. Tell somebody in him you can have comfort and peace and encouragement. Amen, somebody. You need to find him and his word, and by faith rest in him. For you do know the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, amen. But it is impossible to believe him without faith. The Bible said if you come to him, you must come believing that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you seeking him tonight? Oh, Lord, help me tonight. Help me tonight. You got to be encouraged, because God is a God of mercy and comfort. Verse 3 said, blessed by the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. God is called the Father of mercy. Amen. In the Greek, oh my God, I wish I had time to deal with this thing tonight. Amen. But God is called the God of mercy. He is the God of mercy. And sometimes when we get in trouble and need a little help, the first thing we say, Lord, have mercy on me. God is a God of mercy. The Bible saith in Psalm 86 and 5, you are forgiven and good. O Lord, abounding in love to all who called to you. The Greek word, the word in Greek for comfort is paraklesi. I want you to hear me. It mean exhortation. It mean comfort and encourage. In fact, a form of this word is parakletos. It's used for the Holy Spirit. That is why the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. In the King James Version, the Bible says in St. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to you whatsoever I have said unto you. In the New American Standard Bible, the word is rendered helper. All this shows you that God is a God of comfort, of exhortation, and of encouragement. God is a God, he will help you in the time of need if you call on him. Jeremiah said if you call on him in the morning, he would hear you. David said, I praise him 7 times a day. I praise him when I get up. I praise them between my midday before lunch. I praise them at lunchtime. I praise him in my mid-evening. Y'all ain't talking to me. I praise him at dinner time. I praise him when I go to bed at night. So I got a right to praise him. Matter of fact, he said, let the poor and the needy praise him. You don't need money to praise God. Matter of fact, you don't have to be saved to praise him. The Bible said, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Ah, praise him. Woo. Oh, I feel something here. I don't want a country boy come up here amongst these city folks and show out. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. All comfort to come from God, who is the God of comfort, of mercy, and of love. It isn't an angel. Amen. It's God that comforts you. Thank God for angels. I love to talk about angels, but it's God. And every once in a while, amen, you have you ever felt like you wasn't saved? Oh, no, no, nobody like that but me. But see, I don't know about you tonight, but there have been winter times in my life. And if you live long enough, amen, you're going to have some winters. And in the wintertime, don't nothing grow. But I stop tonight to encourage you, St. John, if you hold on, amen, spring is around the corner. Glory to God. I said, if you hold on, don't get discouraged because you're going through a winter. Amen. All of us go through wintertime sometime. Amen. Wintertime, you pray and seem like God don't even hear you. In the wintertime, look like your friends are turning their back on you. In the wintertime, look like your money is running out. But I know a God said, I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. The silver and the gold is mine. But you got to trust him. Tap a neighbor and say, trust him, trust him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, God, it's a God of comfort. That's why I stopped by tonight just to encourage you. Hey, man, don't lean and depend on your friends. Matter of fact, I might go further than that. You can't lean and depend on pastor. Because pastor go through things like you go through. And I know she here to teach and guide you. Amen. But we all can take our burdens to the Lord at the same time, and he will never get tired. That's right, brother. Kind of help me there, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory. Oh, how is the comfort received from God? By faith. Because God said he is the God of comfort, then you need to believe it and act upon it. That is, you need to trust him and receive his comfort, amen, as he provides it. Amen. I thank God. If I had given up years ago, I wouldn't be hitting on nothing tonight. Amen. But I have to, sometime, Brother Deke, you got to just really trust in God. Prayed, amen, and looked like everybody was coming against me. See, you may not understand because I don't know the population here in Alton. But see, when you in a town that everybody know everybody. Amen. I know your boy. I knew you before you was born. And what you trying to do now. And they always throwing stuff up in your face. But how many know that's what I love about the Lord. God will take your stuff and put it in the sea of forgiveness. And one thing I love about it, mother, he will never bring it up no more. He said, I won't even remember your past. Matter of fact, type of neighbor said, neighbor, only thing about your past, it's your past. See, you got to learn to take encouragement because God is there. God is right in your midst. And sometimes you quit trying to see God. You got to know he's there by faith. You can't see him, but you got to believe that he's there. That by Paul said, matter of fact, we hope to see him. That's why every day I look for his coming, because I live in hope. Can I get some help here? Glory to God. And when you know what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. See, that old stuff passed. I don't care if you're a drug addict or alcoholic. I don't care if you're a prostitute. Amen. If it's in the past, it's your past. God done wiped that stuff away. Glory to God. And to turn you around and place your feet on a solid rock. Can I get some help in here tonight? Somebody throw your head back and holler in here tonight one time. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Type of neighbor say, you need to trust him, neighbor. You got to trust him. You got to trust him. Way the economy is now, the bank's messing up and everybody messing up. Wall Street messed up. Glory to God, everything done messed up. And one thing God is showing us, amen, that we put too much our trust in man. And we didn't put enough in him. But he just showing her something. But you know one thing about God, even though he'll let you hit the bottom, but he always bring you back up to the top. Hallelujah, somebody. Glory to your name. Take encouragement tonight because God is there in your affliction. Verse 4 said, who comforted us. Watch it. You can't miss this. Who comforted us in all our affliction. Oh, y'all missed that. He didn't say, I comfort you in some of your affliction, but in all of it. Matter of fact, David picked it up and he said, men are the affliction of the righteous. Somebody said, but the Lord will deliver me out of all of it. One thing about it, when God deliver you, he don't have to do his job. When he deliver you, baby, he deliver you. Whatever you in, when God deliver you, you are delivered. Who comforted us in all our affliction. Watch it. Who comforted us in all our affliction. Somebody say all our affliction. Watch it. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God said, if I comfort you, then you got to take the initiative on yourself in the comfort of us. Oh, help me here tonight, God. Affliction. In the New American Standard Bible, it means trouble. In the NIV, it's mean tribulation, trouble, aggression, persecution, burden, and of course, affliction. Affliction, hear me tonight. I want to holler so bad, but affliction, here it is. Affliction comes in many different sizes and forms. Are y'all still here? It's come in different shapes and different sizes. Watch it. Sickness, financial difficulties, loss of loved ones, an unsure future, auto accident. Y'all ain't with me here. But also, and this is something very important, affliction occurs in the heart, in that place where we get frustrated and confused and hurt. Are y'all still here? Why? The question becomes, why do we have affliction? Because we live in a fallen world. That's why we have affliction, because we live in a fallen world. Are y'all still here? And it's take a world with trouble. It's take a world in trouble to train Christians for their high calling as children of God. If you never went through nothing. Y'all, they can't take this, Pastor. If you can't, oh God, I said it takes a world with trouble in it to train Christians for their high calling as children of God and to carve upon their souls the future of the face of Christ. If you can't take affliction, then you'll never become nothing. I'm finna close. See, my afflictions what made me become what I am. If I hadn't went through nothing, then I wouldn't know that Christ would deliver. See, if you can't go through nothing, then you don't know whether you'll be able to stand or not. Because if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you're going through something. And have you ever been around somebody, pastor, that they think they call you holy rollers? You don't have to act like that. You know God is a God. You know, but see, you don't know what he done for me. And he done so much for me, I can't keep quiet. I just can't keep quiet. You remember when Jesus told him, if you tell him to hush up, the rocks will cry out. I don't need no rocks to cry in my place. When I got a big mouth, I can holler. Lord, I thank you that I'm not consumed because of your mercy is what keeping me. Remember this. If you can't take nothing, you'll never become nothing. There's too many timid saints in the church. You can't be timid if you're going to be a child of the King. See, I don't know about you, but I belong to the royal family. You know why I belong to the royal family? Because he brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. So I'm a royal. I'm a king. I'm a king's kid. And so if you're a king, some stuff you got to take. I get tired of looking at Christians. Can't take nothing. I sat here last Sunday and they got your name not on the pew. And get mad and will lead a church over some foolishness. Can't take nothing. Matter of fact, tap a neighbor. Say, neighbor, can you take it? Tell them if you can't take it, you can't make it. Amen, somebody. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 2-4, he said, consider it pure joy, my brethren, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Yeah, the King James said patient. See, the trials of your faith work as patient perseverance. Don't tell me you're a Christian and you can't stand for me to look at you. What you looking at me for? I'm looking because I got my eyes. Hallelujah. A Christian ought to be able to take some stuff. Hallelujah. You got to take some stuff. Glory to God. That Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier. God needs some good soldiers. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's why you ought to be so encouraged, amen, and you ought not to allow nobody to talk about one of your church people. Nobody. We as Negroes, we need a whole lot of help. Y'all not letting nobody put their mouth on your leader. Y'all ain't talking to me, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your mama, nor your daddy. They bring up a negative word by your pastor, you ought to stop them in the track. That's my pastor. That's my leader. That's the one watch over my soul. You're not going to talk about somebody that stands over and watch over my soul. Say this. Let me pin right here. This won't cost you nothing. And I'm going to mess with some of your theology. But I'm going to say this. When your pastor I don't know why I got on this. When your pastor stands up here Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, she is the only voice that you're going to hear from God. I know some of y'all have missed that, but I might help you. When she go before God and have a word for you, the Bible says in Hebrew that she watcheth over your souls. No other, you can't find in the scripture where your husband or your wife watch over your soul. When she stands here and done went before God for a word, and God speak every time she opened her mouth, it's the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't say that she can go to God on your behalf, because we're not under the law no more. You can go to God for yourself. But I'm saying here, when she come here and stand over you, that's the only voice you go here. I wish I had time to go in scripture. Wish I had time. Because see, we Negroes, we some tough folk. You can't tell me about us. And you know what? You know what us is? It's the same. I don't care if you leave here and go to South Africa. We're the same. And I've been pastoring for 28 years, so I'm not a rookie. I know Negroes. And you may say, well, you don't look like a Negro. No, I'm 80% the other kind. But they always told me, if you got 1 ounce of black in you, you consider black. So I'm a light-skinned Negro. And I know us, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you tonight. I hoop tomorrow night. I want to talk to you tonight. Hallelujah. We got to learn how to treat one another. If God had passion for you and I, we got to have passion for one another. And see, we so quick to forget, Brother Deacon, where God has brought us from. We don't never want to think about the mess that he brought us out of, but we always want to point finger at somebody else's mess. But that same mess that he delivered you out of, he can deliver somebody else out of it. You ain't did right. Some of you probably been saved a long time, but you ain't did right all your life. Some of you love God and you still messing up, but he still cover you with grace. Come on, somebody. So we quick to point fingers at somebody else. And saints up in the church lying on the income tax check. On the income tax, lying. That lying is lying, baby. You gonna lie to get an extra $100, it's still a lie. Then you're going to point at me because you see what I'm doing. A sinner do what they do. That's why we supposed to show fruits and show them and sell them what we got. If you know the Lord, then you ought to be able to sell him, not with money, but you ought to be able to sell some. A good salesman know how to sell. A good salesman know their product. If they come in your house with a vacuum cleaner, it can be one of the worst vacuum cleaners on the market, but they show you where to pick up so many balls, and it's this and it's that. You know in your mind, I know this ain't worth a flip. It may last 2 months, but he's going to make it the best vacuum cleaner because he's a good salesman. We ought to be good salesmen for Jesus. We ought to sell what we got. How many minutes I got? How long I been? Hallelujah. You should be encouraged because, amen, you can be an instrument of comfort to others. If God encourage you or somebody else encourage you, pass it on to somebody else. I know what you're going through, but you know what? God is able to do exceedingly. Oh, you know your Bible, abundantly. Watch it above all that we ask to think, according to the power that worketh in me. Baby, there's a power in me working. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. Oh, not that I don't want to do it, but something in me. That's why the Bible said, greater is he that within you, he that's in the world. It's something greater on the inside. Throw your head back and holler one time. Say, Lord, I thank you for saving my life. Hallelujah. I need about 15 of you to get up and slap somebody a high five and tell them, baby, the Lord been good to me. You may not can see it, but he's been good to me. Oh, I've been sick so many times and he healed my body. Nobody did it but God. God been good to me. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God, help us tonight. Oh, we got to be instruments. Verse 4 said, my God, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Oh, God, help us tonight. And when you comfort one another, that by you glorifies God. Because you know what? We are the only hands. We are the only eyes and the mouth. We are God's masterpiece. God is not coming down here and witness to nobody. We lay your hand on yourself, say, I am his witness. Hallelujah. So we got to find ourselves doing a work for him. Amen, somebody. You should be encouraged because the comfort you receive from God come through Jesus. Verse 5 said, for just as the suffering of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. This means that all comfort, encouragement, and hope that you receive through people, through the word, or through circumstances are filtered through Jesus Christ. Therefore, the comfort is pure, good, and right. It is received by faith. Amen. Where our suffering are abundant, so is our comfort. This comfort, this spiritual comfort, received by faith, by acting choice. You can do exactly what God wants you to do, but you got to have faith in him. Too many times we want to feel stuff and we want to see stuff, but how many of you know faith is blind? That's why I call faith, because if you see it, it's not faith. If you got it, it's not faith. Oh, faith is the something of things. It's not seen. You can't see it. It's the substance of things. You can't see faith. I receive Jesus Christ by faith. Not what I feel. It's by faith I receive him through grace. Thank God for his grace tonight. Amen. Thank God for his grace tonight. Thank him for his grace. You have God. You have the God to encourage. Amen. He's waiting on you tonight to show you just who he is. Amen. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Nobody can do it but Jesus. That's why he died and went to the cross. Amen. He went that Good Friday. He hung on the cross. In that Saturday, he was in hell loosing the old patriarch. But somebody said, early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And what I love about God, amen, everything the devil had bound, Jesus went into hell and loosed old Petros. And the Bible says in Matthew 27 that the saints got up out of the grave and walked the streets of Jerusalem. And I'm glad when he come now, glory to God, he coming at a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. He coming at a pure church. He coming at a holy church. And the Bible says, you which are alive and remain going to be caught up to meet him in the air. Can I get a witness in here tonight? If you love him, say yeah tonight. Say yeah tonight. Stand on your feet, everybody. Stand on your feet, everybody. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you tonight. Matter of fact, grab a neighbor by the hands. A neighbor, you be encouraged. In spite of what you're going through, you be encouraged tonight. Because God is on your side. You just got to do what he says. Can I get a little help here tonight? How many of you love him tonight? I thank God for Jesus Christ. Yes, he did. I thank God that he went to the cross. He didn't do no wrong, but he went there for your sins and mine. I don't know about you, but I haven't been saved all my life. I haven't been saved all my life. I tell the church sometimes, if the things that I just think about has nothing to do with God, it's enough to send me to hell. And I guarantee you, every one of us in here done thought some negative stuff. But that's why the Bible said when that stuff come into mind, you got to get it out. You got to pull it out and cast it down. Every imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you got to pull it down. You got to tell your neighbor, you got to pull it down. God is not going to pull it down for you. You got to pull it down. Say yeah in this house tonight. Come on, lift your hands in here tonight. Oh, be encouraged, saints of God. Be encouraged tonight. God is a good God. I guarantee you tonight, if you just hold on by faith, God want to do a work. Hallelujah. God want to do a work. Pastor, the Lord says, if the peoples do what God want them to do, this church will fill to the capacity. It'll fill up. But you know what? Most of us don't want to do nothing. Most of us, hear me. I'm in a town with 700 people. 700. Somebody says 700. And I got them driving 150 miles every Sunday. God showed me somebody's in prayer. St. John. If y'all would do, y'all looking for the pastor to do it. But the pastor is the shepherd, and a shepherd don't beget sheep. Sheep beget sheep. It's your job. It's your job. I thank God in our church and pastor can witness I got a great evangelist team. Just take somebody that got a heart for souls. Let the drunk come in. Every Sunday I give the invitation. I say, if you got drugs on you, bring them to the altar. Got alcohol in your pocket, bring it to the altar. Set it on the altar. See, we done got too church-oriented. We done got too holy. And then we still go back home and sip our wine. But if somebody bring it down and set it on the altar, then we would ought to be shameless. So, no, hear me tonight. I came all the way from Mississippi to bless you. I didn't come to hurt you. I came to bless you. The church serves as a hospital. And what is the purpose of a hospital? If a crazy man in the hospital and not sick and just want to lay up there in the bed. You go to the hospital to get well. The church spiritually is a spiritual hospital. If you got sin or whatever you need in your life and whatever you're going through, bring it and lay it at the altar. And I guarantee you, when you find an individual bringing something to lay it at the altar, I don't care if it's cigarettes. I guarantee you God gonna deliver. I guarantee you. You know why? Because they done dropped pride. You got to get pride out the way. Sometime on our church sign, you know what I put on it? Sinners are welcome here. The reason you come to church, you just come to get your spiritual tank filled and you go back out. It's just like a service station. When your car get low in gasoline, what you do? Now you may not put but $2 worth in, but you putting some in. But when that needle get on empty, you realize that I can't go too far. So you're going to pull in. Am I right, brother? All right. If you fill your car up tonight, fill it up till the gasoline run out of it, and you drive 50 miles, you can pull back into a service station and put some more gas in. Spiritually, it's the same way. We comes here by week, every Sunday, to get our spiritual tank, our spiritual needs met. We take it back out from Sunday to Wednesday. When is your Bible study, Pastor? From Sunday to Wednesday, your tank is on half full or sometimes even empty because the cares of the world done beat you down. And you come back in here to be renewed. You go back out Thursday morning. And Sunday you come back to get renewed. And back on Wednesday night. That's why people don't understand Bible studies is very important. But I'd rather see my church filled on Bible study night than see them on Sunday morning. Y'all ain't talking to me in here tonight. I'm just like a track runner. I got my second win now. You better not fool with me tonight. And we don't understand that. Brother, you need to give me some music. Brother, I feel like hollering in here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you understand me tonight? I said, do you understand me tonight? I want to challenge you tonight. I teach our church and I pastor two churches, same Sunday, 1:08:15, 1:10:45. Bring them together on Wednesday night. But you know what I teach? Every time we come into the house of God, in a pew or chair emptied, God is dissatisfied. Watch it, watch it. Because he says, go out into the hedges and the highway. Watch it. And come. Sister, you know your lesson tonight. Compel them to come. Hallelujah. But now you can't compel them to come when they know something on you. That since you've been saved, you hadn't got right. You got to have your life in order. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Because the Bible did say, I know my Bible, y'all. The Bible did say, righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is reproach to any people. You think he'll tell you 700 people in the town I live in and got over 1,700 members. In a 700 town. Not boasting or bragging. He'll tell you the only Negro preacher that on international network in our entire area with 150 miles radio on national television where I live. God did it. I'm just talking now. I'm just talking now. But God did. I want to show you what God can do. I'm on television locally and internationally, reaching 13.5 million people in America and 170 nations, and get calls all from Africa. But you know what? What you see is what you get. God can elevate me to the highest. I'm still able to walk with the common person. But that's what God wants to do. We make too many excuses. When you talk to somebody that say, ain't got no clothes, no excuse. I ain't got no money, no excuse. I ain't got no ride, no. You need to kill their excuses. Pastor, I wish I had time tonight. These two nights just going by too fast. This time fly. And I'm finna let y'all go. Because I can get carried away, baby. And you get to talk about the Lord. Because in Luke 14, there were three excuses made. One said, I just bought some land. One said, I done bought some cows, oxen. And one said, I done got married. That's a shame. He couldn't leave his wife to go to the supper. But when the servant got back to his Lord, he said, Lord, I did what you told me. He said, okay. Don't worry about it. But I tell you what you do. You go in the hedges and highways. And you compel them to come. Watch it. You compel them to come. Luke 14, read it. Luke 14. Compel them to come that my house may be filled. God bless you tonight. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, come on, give God some praise in here tonight.
Hallelujah. While we're standing, after such a powerful word, how many you receive from the Lord tonight? You receive something from the word on tonight? Amen. The doors of the church are open. You may come by letter. Christian Experience, candidate for baptism. Will there be one tonight? From such a powerful word. Hallelujah. 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 Will there be one tonight?
Let's